hymn in the air. Thank you. Always these sound system setups. They're designed to hassle the preacher so that people can hear too, obviously, but they hassle the preacher first. Have you noticed that? Okay, so because they're going to get hassled by the preacher when he's preaching, amen? All right. So thank you for your prayers and fellowship. We've appreciated that. And we've had a wonderful time. And the Lord has continued to do a work and give strength and ability and so forth. And we praise God for that. Let's go, please, to the book of Job tonight. The book of Job. And I'm not trying to suggest that my sufferings are anything that I've been through is anything like what Job went through, but I've had a few of them, but not to the extreme extent that Job went through. And here we see extreme sufferings, extreme situations. And thank God for the testimony of Job in the scriptures. And that's why God has given us this wonderful book of Job. There is so much of it that you can read and you find it really hard to work out. But we know that Job's comforters were certainly on the wrong track, put it that way, that Job was speaking the truth from God. But let us notice then in just to read verses 1 to 5 there. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a wonderful family. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Here you're looking at someone who was the most wealthy man of his time. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job continually. So he was a spiritual patriarch to his family, to lead them and to pray for them and to consider them according to the dispensation. And so he was a man of God and he served the Lord. And then in verse 9, we'll jump into this. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made him a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. But put forth thine hand now and touch all he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Let's pray. Father, we ask now that as we look at this man's life, that, Lord, we might be challenged, and spiritually we might grow, and, Lord, we might truly put into practice what was taught in that verse this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this was Job's testimony to this point. Lord, I pray tonight as we look at his life that we would be challenged, and Lord, that we would grow spiritually and that we would have the same responses in our times of trouble. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Job's life, what a blessing to be like Job and to have more animals than anybody else, and animals equated to money. Obviously, he was so well off, so set up, had a wonderful family. How many kids did he have in the family? 7 and 3 makes 10. That's that many, amen? They were there, 10 of them, and they seemed like they were under the Father's hand, and they were in the family, and they were blessed of the Lord. And Job had a burden for them and a love for them. And we see here Job's prayer for them and so forth, and his work on their behalf. But notice again verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He lived the Christian life, the spiritual life. He lived the life. This was his normal walk with God. We would call it the normal Christian life, but many these days would think it to be a bit abnormal for him to be so involved with the family and even to be praying for them every day, even to be making special offerings according to the dispensation to cover them should they fail, should they do the wrong thing and curse God in their heart. Job did this continually. It was the normal thing for him to live the Christian life. Let us be normal Christians and live the normal Christian life, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to develop our family in the Lord, and our friendships, and those things that are important. Let's be those that see these from the perspective of God's working. We see here pictured very briefly Job's relationship with God. He had a good walk with God. He not only prayed for himself, but he prayed for others and for the blessing of God in their life, made offerings, made things that cost him something for their sake, as he loved his family and he truly sought to show his love for God in these things. And so we see that he sought first the kingdom of God, and all these things were added to him. He was blessed in his family farm life. Well, my wife, she comes from the farm. I'm a city slicker. I don't even know how to put chooks to bed. Amen? On the first Wednesday night, we were staying with Pastor Richard in his place, and he's got eight chooks. And, you let them out into the yard during the day, and at night, they've got to go in, shut the gate. On the first Wednesday night, I said to my wife, I better get those chooks sorted out. We're heading off to the prayer meeting tonight, so we don't want to be caught up doing chooks. Well, the sun hadn't gone quite down yet, and that saying, chickens go home to roost, really didn't mean a lot to a city slicker like me. So I'm there trying to round those chooks in. One of them was a bit rebellious, didn't want to go in. But anyway, my wife's from the farm. She knew what to do, how to get them sorted out, how to get them in, how to feed them and all the rest of it. And it was very good. It was a blessing. And they were a bit slow with the eggs. And then we found out that later after we'd left that they were hiding them over in the wood heap. So much I know about chooks, amen, and farm life. But, you know, those that live the farm life, and as they did in Job's time, they see the blessing of God in so much of the agriculture that they do, let's say it that way, in the herds that they've got, in the things, and they seek the Lord's blessing in those areas. My wife grew up on the farm, and it was a Christian farm, as it were. It was blessed of the Lord. They had a neighbour who also was a wonderful Christian and gave to missions by the truckload. And those two farms were blessed. Whenever it rained, they got rain. And they were able to do crops and all the rest. It was blessed. And they saw God's hand in that. And Job then had the blessing of God. God's hand was in all these things. And God was blessing him and all was going well in his situation in this context. But, you know, we need to be ready, because when things are going well, there is somebody that's not happy with things going well for the Christian. And that is that our adversary, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to get you. And we see those examples of sharks getting people, tearing limbs off them and so forth, wrecking, trying to ruin their lives. Well, that's a physical picture of Satan as well, how he seeks to attack the believer, tear things up and get the believer's focus away from God. And the devil really believed that if things didn't go well for Job, that Job would turn around and curse God. Now, here's an interesting picture and perspective of life that we need to get a hold of. A lot of things that are happening in life are not really a lot to do with earth. They're more to do with heaven. They're more to do with the kingdom of God. They're more to do with our relationship with God. They're more to do with our testimony to men and women and to Satan. They're to do with those things. So many and much of what is going on in this earth scene is just a preparation for glory and also a testimony to Satan. Be a testimony to Satan rather than a casualty of Satan. Stand up and stand for the Lord. But realize this, dear Christian, brothers and sisters, we will suffer. We will face suffering and persecution. Satan is going to do everything that he can to tear us up and to drive us away from the things of God and the house of God and the testimony for the Lord. My wife and I have been reading a very interesting book we were given down at Shelleybeers, and it tells the story of the gospel going into an area in the 60s for the first time, and how that the gospel had impact on the villages. And at first, when the gospel had impact on villages, nothing much happened. But the more people that got saved, the more angry the devil got. The more the witch doctors were stirred up to make trouble and so forth, and put out poison to have the believers beaten, especially the men and the pastors and the leaders, and have them beaten, stoned, torn up, houses burnt, driven out of the village. All that sort of thing they suffered, because there is a devil and he attacks. Now, his attacks are way more subtle in our kind of culture. The devil can offer Mercedes. He can offer a Lamborghini. All those sort of things. I was talking to a little boy and they said, well, what sort of car do you want to get? Oh, Lamborghini. And this little tiger about that age there. Where did he even learn that word from? I didn't know he knew Italian, you know. All those Italian words. But the devil wants to make it smooth and sweet and nice. You get you so much sugar that you get sugar diabetes or something. You know what I mean? He sugarcoats stuff and he makes it look so good. Puts it into glossy magazines and so forth and tempts. And a man is drawn aside when he gives in to his own lust, the Bible teaches in the book of James. And so Satan is out there to continually attack God's children and to make their lives of misery. And if they're blessed of God, then he wants to tear it apart and so forth. Now, God has given us, by the way, wisdom in his word of how to stand against the evil one and how to defeat Satan with God's wisdom and following God's word. So here we have then an attack that is launched upon Satan. Now, Satan had to get his marching orders from God, who would allow this to happen, but yet not allow the devil to get him killed, to kill him. It's interesting in reading that story about the missionaries taking the gospel into the villages. Many times just ordinary believers were beaten to death, but the leadership was just caused to tremendous suffering in front of the people. So that the people think, whoa, if that's what happens to leaders, whoa, scare the wits out of them and drive them away from gathering in, around the Word of God on Sunday and so forth and so on. And the devil works that way. Job had a good, strong Christian life. Don't believe for a minute that Job was under attack because he sinned. As you look through the whole book, you see that Job was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He eschewed evil. He hated evil or anything to do with that, and kept sin out of his life and lived for God's glory. And so it was that the devil attacked him. Now, the devil attacked him on every area. Now, if you read a book that outlines the most stressful things that can happen to you, number 1 to 10, the things that happened to Job are right up there in the top of the page, going and hardly get to number 10. The sufferings that Job encountered under the attacks of the enemy. We find that Job, however, withstood these things. And for all this, it said, Job sinned not, neither did he curse God. He didn't get angry and upset with God. He did not get a case of the bitters and mope around in bitterness and as though, God was mean. God is not mean. God is good. Amen. God allows sometimes a good spanking for his children, or he may take them through deep waters to show the devil and others that there are true believers. There are those that serve the Lord and are for real with their Christian life. So many people want to say, look at that Christian, he's a hypocrite, hypocrite. And that's the only word they know about about Christianity, hypocrite, hypocrite. Everything's a hypocrite. They never look at their own life and see how they are, but they're quick to pick on the Christian. But here, Job was not a hypocrite. He was true blue, and he lived for the Lord. Though he stood firm for God. And so should we in our trials and testings. Job ministered to his family, it says here, and that was the normal round of his Christian life. Parents, love your families. Discipline them, rear them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Spare the rod and ruin the child. Teach them the meaning of no, amen? And help them to grow in their knowledge of right and wrong and develop that moral sense of the word. Now you see, the first attack of the devil here in Job's life was a very personal attack and his spiritual life and relationship with God. Mark it down. When trouble comes and persecution comes, or when things go wrong, mark it down. Is this not the area that is most under pressure? Are we going to still walk with God? Are we still going to love him and serve him as we ought? Are we going to continue in the Word of God and in fellowship with the Lord and make those important decisions, even sacrifices, will cause us to be regarded as peculiar, strange and different. So it is that we need to stand for the Lord in the difficult situations. So it is that Job begins to attack, and I don't really need to tell you too much about the attack. The attack was personal. It was on his relationship with God, and it was on his work and his associated possessions to do with his work and income. Satan attacked that. Again, that's a very hard thing for someone to go through, be sacked from the job. I knew a young man that came to the Lord, but he had already made a mess of things at Telstra. He worked at Telstra, and he had done some really ridiculous things and set himself up a number and so on that he wouldn't be billed for and all the rest of it. You don't want to cross swords with Telstra, because they had a court that he had to attend. And he said, "Pastor, I've done wrong. Can you help me?" I said, "All I can do is to tell them that you're sorry, you're repentant, and that you owned up to what you have done and you sought counsel and help. That's all I can tell them. More than that, I can't defend their accusations against you." Well, they put him on 12 months with no work. They still kept paying him. And he became like a yo-yo. You know, you see those yo-yos going up and down on a string, not knowing what they had in up their sleeve and what was going to happen next. Terrible situation for a young man. And then, of course, to finalise it, they sacked him. Well, that is a big... He wasn't so keen after that to follow the Lord and to be in church and so forth, and began to fall away. Well, it was his foolishness, was it not? But the work situation, to lose your income, the early believers, remember, that's one thing they suffered, and they weren't getting the work in their home industries like they had in the past. They suffered in Jerusalem greatly, and that happens to believers around the world in heathen cultures. Then Satan attacks the family. The Sabaeans come in and they wreak havoc on some of the family members and the stock and so forth. Fire comes on the property and so forth, burn up the sheep and the servants and consume them. Verse 16, this informant comes to tell him he's the only one that's escaped the fire. Fires that ravaged through the bush and so forth. We saw that this morning as we went to pick up our sister over there at Cessnock, that fire that ravaged through, the heat of the fire, the intensity, and how people are, and stock and so forth, just absolutely consumed of that. That happened to Job. And then the Chaldeans came in. So he had these different ones that came in and attacked, different trials that came upon him. So at the end of it, he has no family. So imagine this. His relationship with the Lord is under attack. His work situation is destroyed. He has no income from all of that farming work that he was doing. Been burnt up. His family now is taken from him. And no doubt this was a family enterprise. And now he was by himself. What would he do? Then we see Job's response in verse 21. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We are going to leave this scene with nothing. At best, you might have a good suit on. Amen? One of those little boxes they put people into, you know. But for the believer, obviously, to be absent from this flesh is to be present with the Lord. Thank God for that. And I know it's like to face that situation. But praise God for the wonderful salvation we have in the Lord. So it is that Job realized the reality of the situation. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is the testimony and example of Job. In many years of pastoral ministry, going back to 1975, it's very rare that at the point of death or the loss of a loved one, that you're going to hear things like this from a bereaving saint, even a good one. And we struggle with this matter of death and the flesh and so forth. We struggle with these things. We are such creatures of habit and of things, are we not? Seek first the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you, but we have it around the other way. Seek the things, and the Lord's going to come in with blessing as well. You'll be able to eat ice cream. Amen? So it is that the devil attacks, and Job realized this. So it was easy for him to part with all of that stuff. And most of all, these dear loved ones that were so special to him. And I know this is something that is special. Over the years, I've known folk that have had little babies die at birth sometimes or early in life. And that's a real trial for parents to bury their children. It's a real trial. Even elderly parents to bury their older children. And one of our friends recently, I don't know how old is she, she's around 80, and she's just lost her daughter who was 60, well, in her 60s. Big loss for a mother to face that. Well, for a father for that matter. And Job responded to this in a positive way. I came with nothing, I'm going to leave with nothing. I believe that behind it, Job had the assurance that his family was with the Lord. His children were with the Lord and so forth. But he gave thanks. He blessed the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like that verse in verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Bitterness did not come into his heart. Anger against God and God's ways and God's difficulties. How often have we met people? And you will be able to testify, how often have we met people in life's journey? And we can't work out what's wrong with these folk and why they're so bitter and why we can't get them to come to church or interest them in the things of God. And then they tell you the miserable story of a loved one, a car accident, someone killed, or a loved one that died, or something that happened that wasn't in their plans. And how often folk respond in the wrong way and they take it out on God. It never ceases to amaze me the kind of reaction that atheists have, amen? The atheists, they don't believe that God is not there. Oh, no, don't talk to me about God. You're talking about nothing. But then they got a flat tire. Or something went wrong. Somebody ran into their Lamborghini or whatever it is, Toyota or something. Why did God have... Where was God? Well, you did away with him, so where were you? Where were you? Obviously not with the Lord, right? So that is that Job had this positive response to the Lord. What a testimony. What a challenge to us. I don't know what tomorrow holds. We sang that song there this morning. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what it holds. Could be blessings, or it could be the other. Either way, it has a silver lining. And that's an interesting song, that one, as you trace it through the different aspects that are dealt with in that song. The songs say so much, don't they? So Satan attacks his family. The children are wiped out. But Job is still with the Lord. Notice that. Job is still with the Lord. He's still talking to the Lord. He's still walking with the Lord. He's still recognizing God's greatness to give him what he's had. You don't know when you're enjoying the best things that you could ever have. Some of us are enjoying some of the blessings, some of the best blessings that we've ever had. But you don't know how long they'll go on for. Think, wow, I'm fit and healthy and I'm out studying and I'm heading for a great career. Life is good, you know, and and all the rest of it. You don't know what tomorrow might hold. You don't know when you're going to get a flat tire. Or worse than that, the devil's going to rip it with his sharp Stanley knife and tear it up, so you have to go and buy a new one. You can't even get it fixed for $25. So it is that Job just held on to the Lord. Held on to the Lord. So family is attacked. Health is attacked. He was beset with scabies. And worse than that, boils. And you read about his life, he was covered with these boils. Now, thank God, I've never had boils. My brother used to get the boils. So if there's one coming my way, I'd give it to him, amen. But no, he had them. Oh, he had some nasty boils. Oh, and painful. And I used to say, thank you, Lord, I don't have boils. Even after he was saved, he kept getting boils. And then they left him in time. And thank God that here Job is beset with this terrible sores and so forth, these festering sores all over his body. Now, I don't know if you know anything about scabies, but I'm going to, my wife's scouring there. I'm going to introduce you to these little creatures that you can hardly see. And they'll attack your whole body. Burrow in. Sister Crow, she knows something about mites and all those little creatures that attack up in the islands up there. Pray for them. Pray for those little creatures that they'll have mercy. But you see, Job's health then is under attack. So imagine his stress levels now. They're going up over this, over the Richter scale, amen? And his health now is under attack. And he's laid aside with this terrible sores and everything on his body. And he's not well enough to get up and stand up and so forth. Needed a wheelchair, I think, or brothers to carry him, no doubt. And here he's laid aside in this way. Thank God for good health. And that you're not laid aside in this way. Thank God that you're not beset by some chronic illness that eventually is going to take you to glory. But so many of God's children, as they've responded as Job did, have found that those trials were such a blessing. And we can know that too in our lives. So that was then the health problem and so forth. And then there's Job's friends. With friends like these, you know the old slogan, with friends like these, who needs enemies? So here they're coming in to visit. You've got to be careful what I'm saying, but I had some people wanting to visit me, and I had to say, I'm not ready for visitors. Oh dear, can't handle it at this point. Eventually the time came. And I had one persistent visitor. Eventually, he did come with someone else. So that was all right. It's a friend indeed. So it is that, you know, the devil attacks, and friends can be very painful if they turn against you and begin to criticize you and get on the negative side to what's going on and do not identify what God may be doing with your life. Chapter 6 and verse 4, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. He could tell that he was under the judgment of God. He was suffering, godly suffering. And then along come the friends, who all they want to do is criticize Job and try and point the finger. Job, you're like this because basically their argument was because of your sin. I haven't sinned, says Job, but you have some secret sins that you are not willing to reveal. And they're deep inside of you. They're so bad that you don't even know what they are yourself. that the devil's accusing him through the friends. And that's very painful. That's very painful. I know I went through a tremendous trial at one stage, and someone said, well, if you go over the state border, you'll never be blessed again. Stepping out of God's will, leaving this state. The best thing we ever do was to leave the state. Amen. Cross over Jordan and discover that God blesses. It's interesting that one person that was strongly motivated to say things like that ended up himself having to leave the state and head east. You see, God has a way, an interesting way of dealing with us. And Job just kept on looking to the Lord and answering his friends wisely. And some of the depths of theology and truth that come through Job are just incredible. I like chapter 13, and I'm only whetting your appetite tonight. I like chapter 13 and verse number 15. And it's a verse that I've often reminded the devil about. And so should you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. I'm going to keep walking with God, no matter what happens. No matter if I'm at the point of death even. Whatever. God was with him, and he was still with the Lord through all this time. Then Job had the problem with his wife, the missus. Wife trouble. And most of the time the women have trouble with the men, and that's why men are called husbands. Husbands. We had a guy from Brisbane came to Bible college, and he had to fill in a ministry sheet, and he had to say what he'd been doing in his Christian service, and he put on there husband. Said to my wife, I hope not. He wasn't too much of a bane, that he was more of a blessing than a bane. His spelling was terrible. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He also shall be my, look at that in verse 16, chapter 13. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. In other words, he's saying, I'm walking with God. God is with me. If I was a hypocrite, the Lord wouldn't even have anything to do with me. Except put me under further discipline. And he understands that God is with him and that God is working. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, verse 25? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. He's looking back over his life. He can obviously remember some things when he was young and foolish, of which he had no doubt repented. But we see then an interesting sidelight. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Let's have that attitude in the Christian life. Let's keep on looking to the Lord and keep that heart attitude with God no matter what happens. Be ready for whatever, whenever, however. Look at this in verse number chapter number 19, verse 21. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Are we like Job's comforters when people we know get into strife, do the wrong thing? Or are we going to be merciful? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. Have pity upon me. There are many people that need just a touch of compassion, that will be a touch of God to help them. The hand of God has touched me, he said. This is God working. But now we come to Job's tremendous knowledge of God. You see, Job resorted to the knowledge of God and the greatness of God. Look at verse 25. I love this verse. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I like the way this Handel's put it in this verse in the Messiah. I know that my Redeemer liveth. A strong statement throughout that tremendous musical score, and where the words of the Bible shine through in great strength. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall... How did he know this? The Holy Spirit told him, amen? His walk with God told him. His fellowship with the Lord told him. His knowledge of the great power of God told him. His understanding of the things in the afterlife and what happens at the point of death. His understanding of the Christ of God who would yet come. This is prophetical. This is of the Spirit of God that touched his life. Let Bible prophecy touch you and give you a wonderful outlook on things that are going on around about you. People will say, oh, terrible thing, this person dying. Hold on a minute. Glorious thing. Because they've had a coronation into the glory, amen. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the stand at the latter day upon the earth. Oh, this is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the precious blood of the cross is seen right here. And Job knew that those offerings that he was making were just drawing on what was going to happen at Calvary, and the precious blood for all of our sins, the precious blood that was shed to redeem folk and to cover sins in times past, and that which is for eternity. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. I know that my Redeemer liveth. God is alive. Even if you feel half dead, amen, God is alive. And he is able to give life. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. This is the first coming of our Lord, but also is a reminder of the wonderful second coming of Christ. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Now, so not only did he believe in the afterlife with God, but also he believed that the flesh is going to be resurrected in that day. He's going to have a brand new body fashioned after the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful faith Job had. Have you got that same faith? Does that faith lift you up in times of need? Well, then seek out this verse and get to know it. And get to turn there when the day looks dark, when things are bleak and things have gone wrong, and you're wondering how many more things can go wrong. How many things can you drop in the one session? Well, third time lucky. No, just talking silly there, but you know how things go wrong, and they run sometimes three in threes. My wife's dropped three things. The last one, I hope, was the end of it for a while, when she dropped a bottle of mulberry jam, and it was in a glass bottle, you know, and hit the floor, boom. And I couldn't even get down to clean it up. My remedy was going to wreck the dustpan and broom, you know. She persevered at it. But that third thing can come along. That testing thing can come along. And how we need to be upheld by the scriptures and by our knowledge of a great God. In chapter 23, we find of Job more of his story. And his response to Eliphaz, oh, these friends, don't ever call your children after any of these zabozos, as Brother Hustler would call them. In chapter 23 and verse 1, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Heavy language there. Deep heartfelt sorrow and trials in his life. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He seeks the Lord and wants the Lord to bless him in his life. He is hungry for God. How often we want other things Lord, heal me. Lord, do this. Oh, that I might have this. And oh, that that might happen. But what about this one? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He's the indwelling Christ. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, and that we would see what is the greatness of his might and his power indwelling our lives, and the fellowship that we have with him, even in the darkest nights and the most difficult times in life. What a wonderful God he is, and how we can look to him in times of need. We see Job's response and restoration in chapter 42, verses 1 to 3. And again, read the book yourself and spend some interesting time in the book of Job, and let God teach you more of his goodness and grace. And let the testimony of Job give you a lift. Like they say in New Zealand, I need a lift. Amen. And the Lord turneth the captivity of Job, verse 10, when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We cannot claim this as a promise in the Christian life, that if our child dies, the Lord's going to give us two in its place. We don't know. Or if we've got 10, we'll get another 10. That'll get you going. We were down in a wonderful church where the choir was made up of some big families. Praise God. The big families that can sing, amen. Down in Murray Bridge. But, you know, the Lord was good to Job. And the Lord gave him a family again. It's wonderful. God lifted him up and restored him. When he dealt with his heart concerning his friends, he began to pray for them. He obviously forgave them for what they had done. Verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Pray for your enemies. Thank God for them. They're going to show you things about yourself you didn't know you had. Amen? And they're going to add a few others that you definitely don't have. Amen? So you need to be ready. But to pray for folk, that to pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you. You've been abused, pray for them. Forgive them. Load them into the cops if you need to. They ought to pay the price for what they've done wrong. Definitely. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 3,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. Boy, that many women around. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. How precious. How kind and gracious of God to give him back those ones. But then he's got twice here, because he goes to glory, he's still got them, amen? They went ahead to glory, and he's got those ones and those ones. He's doubly blessed. And goes on to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. You see, there's a thing that we need to learn about our trials and testings, and that little statement that you often find in the Bible, and it came to pass. It came to pass. Another little saying, the sun's coming up in the morning. There's dark clouds today, but the sun is coming up in the morning. It's not always going to be like it is right now. And in the glory, it's definitely going to be so much the better. Never lose the sight of glory. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The resurrection of the believer being with Christ. What a blessing. What? Somebody say Gesundheit. Mm-hmm. Look at that in verse 16. We're concluding. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons. Even four generations. What about that? Wow. And then, verse 17. So Job died, being old and full of days. I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen the Lord forsake the righteous. Or his seed begging bread. He wonderfully provides for his children. But you know, Job, I'm nothing. I'm just a spring chicken compared to Job. He lived for 140 years. I think that Job, back in those early days when he lost everything with such catastrophe and such a short time, I don't know that he really ever thought about what could happen in the future. I do think, though, that he didn't lose hope. It's very obvious as you read the things. He never lost his hope and trust in God and his ability, his belief in the ability of God to do great things. Hey, he's such a good example to us, isn't he? Job. Let's seek to be like this man of God. True courage, true grit, true worship of the living God. And, you know, he just worshipped God when things went wrong. Cast himself to the ground and praised God for all the many blessings that God had showered upon him. We've got so much to thank God for. So many blessings. It's incredible. Let's not become spoilt brats and throw a tantrum every time things don't go well. And let's be those that get on our knees and thank God for his goodness. And crown Christ Lord. Die to self in the midst of all these things. And Job's comforters brought him to the end of himself, where he was cast completely upon the Lord. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, said the Apostle Paul. That should be our experience. So often we're full of ourselves in our own way. And we think the selfie camera and we think those selfie sticks are made just for us. But let's be those that humble ourselves before the Lord and thank him for what he does and has given us. And be willing to give our lives for his work and service. We have a niece that completed her doctor's degree a few years ago now and chose to go to Africa and work among some very terrible women in a Muslim area, some abused women, and work among them. What a testimony, what a willingness to give the best to the Lord. How does it go with us? Do we fear God and eschew evil? Do we want only God's blessings, no matter what the cost? And I think that's so of Job, who wanted God's blessings, no matter what the cost, no matter how many friends turned against him, no matter what his health picture was, he just sought the Lord and the blessings of God from the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Job. We could say a lot more, and we could say too much. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of this man and for this tremendous book that has been written of his life and what he went through. Lord, teach us today that we can know your grace and help and blessings. We can stand in these difficult and evil days. Not only our friends throwing everything at us, but the world, the ungodly, when we seek to share the gospel. Father, help us to be willing to suffer and to give ourselves fully to you and to praise you and worship you and to look forward to the glory land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we have a final hymn. Thank you.